be holy as I am holy. And you're the one who does that work in our lives by your Ruach HaKodesh. So Lord, we open our hearts to you and help us to receive your word today. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. Lovely. So good that you lead us so beautifully in worship to the Lord. Really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Well, I'm about to welcome David Sadaka, who is our guest speaker for today. But just before I do, David, I'm going to welcome Ashley Crane. Dr. Ashley Crane slipped in today. I don't think it's got anything to do with Anna's birthday. But, of course, it's lovely to have Ashley visiting with us from West Australia, from Perth. And Ashley is down here for, in fact, the same reason as David Sadaka is down here for. And next week on Monday, we have the Lausanne Consultation on Jewish Evangelism, LCJE Conference of Australasia. And did you know that Mark Polonsky is, in fact, the area coordinator for Australasia? He's kept that quiet for at least 2 years. And so he's done a huge job in preparing for this conference. So well done, Mark, and preparing for us next week. And, you know, anyone can come. If you really want to come in the evening sessions, you're welcome to come. I think you can still get on the website and register for that. Or you can come and register at the venue. It's up in the Belgrave Heights area, up in the hills with the beautiful cockatoos and galahs and rosellas. So it's a lovely area. If you're somewhere near there, come and visit. For the evening sessions, every night David will be speaking. He's speaking, I think, a total of 6 sessions over the 3.5 days or something. And we have others as well from different ministries around Australia, all organizations that are dedicated to sharing the good news with our Jewish people. So let me formally welcome David Sadaka, Dr. David Sadaka. We're going to give him a really formal welcome because I know David very well. We've known each other for a good 20 or so years, I think it is. And he's a wonderful man, beautiful hearted, good humor, and very intelligent. But he doesn't come across with this kind of, you know, academic air. He's just a very wonderful, down-to-earth brother in the Lord with a beautiful wife. I think it's his wife that keeps him humble and feet on the ground. Her name is Julia, and she's beautiful as well. So I'm going to read a little bit more of his biography because I don't want us to miss some of the stuff. So David Sadaka, Sadaka. Do you think that's a Jewish name or not? Sadaka. So when you come up to him, you say, Sadaka, and he will give you money. He will give you money. Every time you say, oh, you want the money. Oh, all right. Sadaka means, well, you know, charity or good deeds or righteousness. And he's a Jewish believer in Yeshua, and serves as vice president of Chosen People Ministries. Now, Chosen People Ministries is what we are part of. Celebrate Messiah is part of Chosen People Global Ministries. David was born in Montevideo in Uruguay. Interesting. Where his parents were missionaries. He grew up in a Messianic Jewish home where his father, the late Victor Sadaka, was one of the pioneers of the Messianic Jewish movement. Now, I understand that your dad was, but he's not that old. He's not 2,000 years old when he passed away, was he? He was one of the pioneers, David's father, of the modern Messianic movement, I think we probably should say. And David's father also served as a missionary with Chosen People Ministries. Then it was called the American Board of Mission to the Jews. Because of his parents' ministry, and especially in the relocation of the Holocaust survivors, he grew up in different countries in Europe, South and North America. David is highly educated. I'm not going to go through all the lists of courses that he's done and diplomas and masters and doctorates that he has, but he received a cum laude in psychology from Harvard University. He then worked in the secular world for a while, which I was quite fascinated when I told him we're going to have the Melbourne Grand Prix. He said, well, that was his former life. He worked for Goodyear Tires as a liaison to the Grand Prix circuit and all the famous people back in those days. Jackie Stewart. Anyone remember Jackie Stewart? David knew the fella. He was someone I remember when I grew up in childhood. You know, I always pretend I'm driving a fast car and that I was Jackie Stewart. So David actually hung out with those guys. But then he's been involved in ministry for many years, pastoring in some churches as well as messianic congregations. And since when, David, did you join once again with Chosen People Ministries? I think it's down here somewhere. You joined up with Chosen People Ministries in 2000 and? First in 1972, but again in 2004, to join together, work alongside Mitch Glazer as the Vice President of Chosen People Ministries. He's been involved in the Messianic movement for many years, and he was also the CEO and Executive Director for the International Alliance, Hebrew Christian, later called the Messianic Jewish Alliance, and traveled a lot. So it's not his first time to Australia. He's been to Australia several times and New Zealand as well. And he's spoken in dozens of countries around the world. He's also a lecturer at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem in archaeology and also the early believers, the early church movement and the early messianic movement. So it's great to have David here with us. Let's give him a warm welcome as he comes. All right.
Nice. You can hold it all.
I can hold it. I can leave it there. Good to be with you. I was here 2 years ago. Well, not here. I was in the other place where you were. I was with my wife, Julia, and she's saying hello to you. I talked to her twice already this morning. I can never get enough of her. We're celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary in just 3 weeks, so I better get home soon because we have a just with our family, but it's a good event. Married for 50 years. I don't know if she had to put up with me, but anyway. Glad to be with you, and you know, I enjoy coming to Australia. This is my 7th visit, and I just enjoy the fellowship to see new faces. And forgive me, I already apologize if I don't remember everybody's names. But I remember having seen you before, like I saw somebody from the Garden Tomb that we met several times. I see you guys, and I'm not getting old. I'm getting old. I have the honor of being the keynote speaker 7 times, I think, at the upcoming Los Angeles Presentation on Jewish Evangelism, of which I was honored to be the part of the first Executive Committee of the Los Angeles Association of Jewish Evangelism, going back like a lot of years ago. Since then, I'm being one of the regional coordinators. And like Mark, he's the Australasia coordinator. So I'm honored, really honored to be the keynote speaker at the upcoming conference. I hope that you can attend. We'll be speaking on some of my archaeological research on understanding the scriptures. I'll also be talking, you know, bringing more spiritual themes in the need to understand Jewish evangelism, the reason why we should. And I look forward to spending some quality time. Every time I spend time with you is quality time, but this is more intense. As I was considering my message to you, I want to share with you some thoughts from the New Testament. And last week, I was reading the letters of Peter, because I'm going to be teaching this coming year at Hebrew University in Israel on Paul and Halakha. Now, I want us to understand the understanding Paul. I wanted to understand the mind of the Apostle Peter as well and how he thought. And I came across some thoughts from Peter that really surprised me. And one of the things, you know, we talk about Paul and law and grace and what have you. And sometimes we kind of overlook the writings of Peter, who surprised me. I shouldn't be, you know, I'm embarrassed to say that I haven't been focusing on Peter as I should. And then I came across how many times Peter mentions in his epistles the words grow, grow. And it spoke to me. And I had prepared a different message, and at the last moment I told Lawrence, I said, I'm going to change the subject because I want to just bring some thoughts that came to me as I was reading some words from the Word, from the words of the Apostle Peter. And growth is something that we like to see. I'm really glad to see the numerical growth that we have in the congregation. I don't know whether it's the place or what, but 2 years ago, it seemed like we were a much smaller congregation. Am I right on that? And see how many children up here? That's amazing. I mean, you need it's more than a chuppah here to bless all the children. You need a tent next time. It's good to see that, and see, it's good to see growth. And I see, you know, I have the privilege of traveling. I visit about 13 countries a year. And I, as I look, you know, I'm getting to be, I remember in Jerusalem, we were there for the old Los Angeles Association Jewish Evangelism, and a dear friend, a dear brother from Norway introduced me, and not been English his first language, he meant to say that I've been involved in the Messianic movement for a long time, so he introduced me as a relic in the Messianic movement. I'm not that old yet. But one of the things I do like to see is growth. But I'm thinking, what type of growth do we want for our congregation? What type of growth do we want in our spiritual life? I was amazed that how frequently the Apostle Peter in his epistles mentioned that. So I want to bring just a few thoughts from the Word of God. And in the second letter of Peter, chapter 3, I'm just going to read a short passage. It says, But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. But grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Why Peter was so concerned with growth? I think one of the traits of our spiritual life ought to be that we are grown in the Lord, not only numerically, but also spiritually. And it's something that we should pay attention, and we're encouraged to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. We put our children in special classes when we don't see them developing in the way they ought to. I remember a few years ago, a dear pastor friend of mine was concerned because he realized that his son was not growing in the way he ought to. And, you know, he was concerned. He took him to doctors and so on and so forth because we want to see natural growth. And what the Apostle Peter is telling us, and I would encourage you to read not only this passage, but read how many times are we encouraging the Word of God to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, to grow in the grace of the Lord. Today I want to share with you a few thoughts. When I say a few, I hope it's going to be a few. I always say that the length of my message is directly proportional to the time it took me to get here. So considering that I flew for 36 hours, so what time we get here? What time we get out of here for the Russian? Okay, you got to kick me. No, I'm kidding. But when I say a few thoughts, I usually mean a few thoughts. What do we mean by spiritual growth? I think spiritual growth we find in the Bible to mean the progress that we have as we experience our life with God. Having a deeper knowledge of God. Getting to know Him better. Growing in the Lord means not only the time that we spend, but how deep is our relationship with God. Because we can spend years in church, we can spend years in our congregation, and just not see the spiritual growth that God wants to see. And you know something? The letters, what we find in the Bible, it tells us that spiritual growth is something God wants, and the lack of spiritual growth is something that is possible as well. And briefly, I want to mention that in the Bible, they warn us three signals, three indications that we are lacking spiritual growth. And we don't have the time to read at all of them, but just let me mention a few of them. The Apostle Paul warns in the letter to the Ephesians, and he says that indications of spiritual growth is when we just go about with every, when we don't have convictions. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 15, the Apostle Paul says that, I don't have the time to read it all, but it tells us that sometimes the lack of growth is seen by the lack of strong convictions. How firm is your belief in the reality of God? How firm is your belief when trials and tribulations come about? How firm is your belief when things don't go well in your life? It is easy to believe when everything goes well, but how about when things don't go the way we expect them to go? Sometimes our convictions are kind of flaky when it comes to, we live in a world, and actually I'm trying to finish a book on the, and it should have been in print already, but it's not. It's called The New Approach to an Ancient Code. It's a new analysis of the Ten Commandments. And we're living in a world where everything is great and everything is okay, but you know, we live in a world, I don't know, in Australia, but at least in America, we want to be politically correct and we compromise our beliefs. A sign of spiritual growth is that we have firm beliefs. And the Apostle Paul says, be firm in what you have believed, otherwise you have believed in vain. Be firm in what you have believed. So, lack of growth is seen when we don't have strong convictions. In the letter to the Hebrews, he says that lack of growth is also seen by the type of food that we take, spiritual food that we take. It says, and the Apostle Paul uses the same analogy. I don't know whether the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Hebrews or not. Some people say he was. And the style of his writing is different because he was writing to his own people, the Jewish people. Therefore, he wrote in a different style, whoever the author was. The Apostle Paul talks about being fed with meat, solid food. And the author to the Hebrews mentioned the same thing. You don't grow because you're still drinking milk. You can't drink anything else. You can't have any solid food because you're stuck with milk. Now, when we give our children milk and they drink the bottle, but we can't feed them just milk for the rest of their lives. You cannot be fed spiritually, spiritual milk all the time. And we're warned not going back again to the fundamentals. We have to grow. We have to grow in the type of spiritual food that we take. Dig deeper in the Word of God. Spend more time praying with God. Be more firm in your convictions with God. Don't just drink milk. Sometimes the Apostle Paul says, don't be babes in the way you think. Say, don't think like babes. Is our thinking about spiritual things the same way it was before? Well, I hope it isn't. There used to be an old hymn or song that we used to sing in churches. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. You used to sing, those who went to church, another one I'm talking about, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus is loving more and more. How is our every day with the Lord? Are we digging deeper every day? Do we want to know him more? The Apostle Paul writes something that really amazes me. In his letter to the Philippians, which is one of the most beautiful letters ever written, he talks about joy, and now he's in jail, ready to be, has his head chopped off. One of the privileges of being a Roman citizen is that he had his head chopped off instead of being fed to the animals. He's about to die. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And he says in the same passage, I want to know him more. He's there. He's at the end of his ministry. And he's saying in chapter 4 of Philippians, I want to know him more. Isn't that beautiful? Do we want to know him more? We should. We should. We should grow. And this is the passage here. The passage that I read is very simple. It says, but grow. Now that but there means that there is a change. And the previous section, the Apostle Peter's warning the churches about going with some straight doctrines, and there was, by the time the Apostle Peter's writing this letter, there was a lot of strange doctrines going around there. He's warning them. He said, don't go with them. Don't change with every current, with every stream, with every new preacher that comes about, with any new church and mega churches and these, you know, sophisticated things. No. Grow in the real things of God. And he said, growing what? And he says, but grow. The sign of somebody who wants to honor God, and a sign of a congregation, a solid, good congregation that's fulfilling God's calling. It's a congregation that not only seeks to grow numerically, but wants to grow spiritually, digging deeper. I praise God for the good teachers that you have. Pray for them every day. Pray that they will continue to guide you into a deeper relationship with God. And of course I rejoice when I see congregations growing, but I rejoice even more when they see the spiritual growth of our congregation, walking closer with the Lord. Now, having mentioned the signs of a lack of spiritual growth, let's go to the positive side. It says, grow in two things. Grow in grace. Increase grace and knowledge of our Lord. The Apostle Peter is asking us to grow in grace. What does it mean? Grace is something that we receive from the Lord, isn't it? We are saved by grace. We're saved not of the things we do, but it's something that we have received from God, not because we're worth it, not because we deserve it. And grace is something that is comes from the word gratio, or the gratis, which means free, gratis. Something we don't pay, we don't deserve. The presence of God in my life is not because I'm worth it. I wasn't saved because I deserved it. I didn't earn it. It was something that I received in spite of who I am. In spite of my failures, in spite of my frailties, in spite of my sin, I received the salvation that came from God. Now, interestingly enough, sometimes we focus on what we have received from the Lord, the grace that saved us. But this is something, they said, grow in grace. So not only do we receive from the Lord, not only we receive from the Lord something that was given freely to us, but it says, give it as well. Grow in grace. Growing in grace is, you know, grace is one of the attributes of God that we find in the Old Testament. And, you know, in Exodus 34, we read, the Lord is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Perhaps that's the best definition of grace. Therefore, grace is almost always associated with mercy, with love, with compassion. Are we reflecting that in our spiritual life? I mean, I can do everything. You know, the Apostle Paul says, that beautiful passage that we read, and I don't know how many weddings I perform I'm entering now my 45th year in the ministry. And I have no idea how many weddings I perform and how many times we read this passage, love, in 1 Corinthians, right? Love. Even if I give everything, we sing about love, we recite about love, and talk about love, but guess what? It's something that has to be seen in us. We can't just sing about love. We can't just talk that God is love if I'm not love. You know, if I say God is love and I sing in the congregation, I rejoice here and I go home, I got a long face all day, and I go to work and everybody hates me because I'm a terrible boss, or I have a good manner, I have bad manners, I don't have good. It doesn't work like that. Grow in the love of God. God is love. And we ought to reflect the same thing that we receive from God. Guess what? I got to give it out. What we have received from the Lord, gratis, grace, we got to reflect it. Long-suffering, patience, all the things. It's interesting that when I was a child growing up in the northern part of Spain, because my father was work in the relocation of the Holocaust survivors at the end of World War II. So I grew up, we chose to live in Barcelona because it was easier for my father to move about the countries in Europe. Spain did not suffer as much, so it was a good place for us to live. And one of the things I always remember that I lived in a town north of Barcelona called Badalona. And from my house, I could see the lighthouse. And almost impressed me, the lighthouse. And one day, he said, Dad, I want you to take me. I was 5 years old. Once I was 5 years old, believe it or not. You know how many years ago, but I was 5 years old. And I told Dad, take me up. I want to see the lighthouse. So one day, he took me to see the lighthouse. He made arrangements. And to my surprise, I was hoping to see, you know, a huge, huge light. And it wasn't. It was a very small light. What made it powerful? The mirrors and lenses. And the job of the keeper of the lighthouse was to polish those mirrors and lenses all the time. Now, I learned my lesson when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he also says, so let your light shine before other men. So I don't have light. I'm just the mirror that ought to reflect the light of God. In this case, the grace of God. The grace of God that we have received, are we reflecting the same grace? Are we showing the same grace? Are others looking at us and see the grace of God? Guess what? People are going to know God because they're going to see you. Polish that mirror. Polish that lens. There may be things in my life that are a hindrance to reflecting the grace of God that I ought to be reflecting. My prayer in my life is, Lord, show me the spots so I may remove them, so your grace can be seen and shine through me. Grow in the grace of God. But also says, grow in what else? In the knowledge of God. I think the mark of spiritual growth is getting to know him more. Getting to know him more. How big is your hunger for the Word of God? How big is your desire to dig deeper into the Word of God? I'm working together with the director of the Jerusalem Museum in publishing a book on Israel's sacred space. And just a couple of weeks ago, I was teaching at Hebrew University, and I was able to hand over the manuscript, which was huge. And I would get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, digging into the subject. And I was learning so much about Israel's sacred space, and it's called the subtitle, From the Tabernacle to the Temple, and how the presence of God was manifest in Israel in different times. But I was learning so much that I was a renewed desire to get deeper into the Word of God in ways that I had not seen before. I remember, you know, just Julia said to me, David, where are you? I'm upstairs, I'm digging, and I transform my office into a table with all kinds of, Talmud, Midrash, and writings of the Torah, and the Bible in every language and whatever. I got a renewed excitement in digging into the Word of God because it was a topic that I had not taught before. It was something, it wasn't new, but it's something that I had overlooked, the reality of the presence of God in the midst of the people of Israel. And now we are temples, so if we're going to be temples of the presence of God, I need to know what happened with Israel when Israel had the temple in its midst. So it was a renewed interest. And remember the excitement in the past few months, and November and December, just getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and not, believe it or not even coming down to eat or having just a quick bite or whatever, going back. And I thank God that even at this point in my life, I can get excited about the Word of God. I pray that you will renew your excitement from studying the Word of God. I'm not going to go into detail, but it's this method that was introduced in the Intertestament period by the Great Assembly or the Great Synagogue. A method for studying the Word of God is an acronym, is Pardes. And Pardes is, don't just settle for what you read. Go again and read it again. There must be there something that you're missing. And some people, especially those who are not Jewish, tell us, why do you just spend all your life reading the same passage again and again? Guess what? Every time we read it, we find something new. Every time you read it, you'll find something new. Do we have that yearning, that desire to get deeper into the Word of God? The mark of spiritual growth is to know Him more. To know Him more is experience, not intellectual knowledge, but to get, you know, the Apostle John, you know, following the epistles of Peter, come the letters of the Apostle John. And the beginning, and just in, if your Bible doesn't have a break between the letters, immediately after this passage comes the opening of the letter of John. And he says, what we saw, what we experienced, is what we're telling you. When we see grow in knowledge of the Lord, we're not talking about just the intellectual knowledge. To know Him is to walk with Him. To know Him is to talk to Him. To know Him is to listen to Him. When we pray, do we listen to God? Sometimes when I still lead congregation, but I pastor four churches and five messianic congregations, I always introduce and said, when we go to our prayer meetings, our prayers, let's not just go to God with our shopping list. Sometimes our prayers are just, I'm sorry, I'm not accusing anybody, I have no right of doing so, but sometimes our prayer, there's a shopping list. Stop in the middle of your prayer and listen to how God wants to talk to you. It's not a monologue we have with God. Prayer time is a time when we also have to listen to God. Stop and listen. Don't tell God what He already knows. He knows what your needs are before you ask Him. You know, you know that? Do you realize that God knows what your needs are before you tell Him? Yet He wants to hear from us. Yes, of course. But He knows. But let Him answer. Growing in the Lord is learning to listen to Him. Learning to tell you, you know, you're doing well, my child. Yet, you know, you need to correct in this area and whatever. You know, let him be your father. Sometimes I like this idea of, you know, God being my friend and so on and so forth. But you know what? He's the Almighty God. Let's not remove Him from His pedestal. Let Him teach you. Listen to what He has to say for you. Grow in the knowledge of God. How can you grow in the knowledge of God if you don't let Him talk to you? If you don't listen to what He's got to say? Growing in the knowledge of God. Now, our knowledge of God doesn't grow with the time or the level or the intellect that, you know, I could have, you know, God gave me the opportunity of having a tremendous going to the best universities and now teaching. I'm now, 3 years ago, was appointed permanent resident scholar at Hebrew University. Who would have thought? The only Messianic Jew. And I haven't been kicked out yet. And God allows me to be a witness for Him in places like that. Who would have thought? But it's not the time. It isn't the time, the amount of time that I spend or the degrees. It's by God's grace that God has allowed me to do. And sometimes I say, Lord, give me more time because I want to learn more of You. But on the other hand, I want to be here learning more is great, but being with Him in His presence, it's even better. Yeah. And you know, on the one hand, I want to spend more time here learning more, and the other hand, I say, wait. What awaits for you is even better. You're going to be with the Lord forever. But one thing I hope is that when I get to be with the Lord, I'll be able to listen, hear from Him, have all my questions answered. But you have a chance now. You have a chance now to start feeling His presence. And here, just a rehearsal of what's going to be in glory. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Now, in closing, and I do mean in closing, the Apostle Paul the Apostle Peter in the same passage gives us 8 steps. And, you know, we talk the 12-step program. Okay, I'm going to be shorter. It's going to be the 8-step program for spiritual growth. And in 2 Peter chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, we are given here, gotta bear with me because I just had eye surgery and I'm learning to read without glasses. And I've got to read again. So 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. We have here a summary. I'm going to give you the 8-step program for spiritual growth. It's here. Now, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. Starting point is faith. Our spiritual life began by faith. It should continue by faith. And it says here that the first thing we need to know, if we want to, is up there. Now, this very reason, making every effort. There is an effort. Diligency. Can we go back to the text? I know we're in Beit HaMashiach. I can read Hebrew. Is there a chance we can go back to the text so you can read it as well? Okay, here we go. For this very reason, because we want to grow in the Lord, right? You got it? For that reason, we got to do several things. First, we got to add to your faith, which was the beginning, and we should never abandon our faith, goodness. How good is your goodness? Goodness. What is goodness? It's all the qualities that God provides for us every day. The goodness is several things that we receive from God and for things we are grateful for. So you want to grow in the Lord, make sure that to your faith, don't take your faith away. You can't have anything. You can't grow. You cannot grow in the Lord if you don't have faith. And the same faith that led you to believe in the Lord should be there. You got to have faith that you can grow in the Lord as well. But to your faith, you should add certain things. And what Peter is saying is that don't be stuck in just the rudimentary of your faith. Add to it. Make sure to your faith you add what? Goodness. And goodness is everything every day we receive things from God. Even the air we breathe comes from the Lord. Every good thing, the Bible says, comes from the Lord. You want to grow in the Lord? By golly, show some goodness. Why do we want from God things and we're not ready to give them out? What we have received from the Lord daily. How many times the apostle Paul says, what I have received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. That's not the exclusive thing of the apostle Paul. That is for all of us. What we have received from the Lord, we should also pass on to other people. Growing in the Lord means showing some goodness to other people. Grow in the number of people that you do good. Sometimes we limit ourselves, you know, to our friends. We limit ourselves to our family. Well, that's the logical thing. I know you may not like your mother-in-law, but I'm sorry. Exercise your love. Show some goodness. When you perhaps you have a boss that is unbearable, or you have or some co-worker who's unbearable, or you have a teacher who's just awful, who gives you more things to do than you ought to. Treat others. Learn not only to treat those who deserve your good. There are others who, from a human point of view, do not deserve your goodness. But did I reserve the goodness from God? No, I don't. We grow in the Lord, not only because we have faith, but because we add to that goodness. And not only goodness, what is the next? It says, goodness. Unto goodness, what? Knowledge. Knowledge. Know the Lord. This is what we're talking about. Know the Lord. And Peter loves this word, know. And learn, know and learn. And Peter was perhaps an old man when he wrote this letter. And he's talking, he keeps on talking about learning. Why? Because you never graduate. You know something? You never graduate from learning the Bible. You never graduate from walking with the Lord. You never get a diploma in your spiritual life. You may get a reward in heaven, but here, don't expect a degree. Don't expect a diploma in your spiritual life. Every day. But it doesn't stop there. When you go to the next verse, the Apostle Peter says, and to that you should add self-control. Do we have it here? Self-control. Self-control. How do you react when somebody cuts in front of you in the street? You're driving your car and somebody, boom, just cuts. Years ago, do you still have 5 minutes? No, okay, 2 minutes. I had a man who came to faith, and his family had been praying for him all his life. He used to curse all the time. He was an old military man. And he came to faith, and he knew that his life had to change. And the great test was when somebody cut him off in the freeway. And he was about to curse, and he didn't know what to say. And he didn't know what to say. He said, Matthew 45:45. There was no Matthew, but you know, he knew that he couldn't curse anymore, right? I always remember this story because the family made fun of him. But he passed the test. He learned to control. Self-control. Self-control. But to that, said what else? Perseverance. Perseverance is, you know, in spite of difficulty, just keep on going. Things may not go the way we want, but perseverance is continuing on in spite of. That's perseverance. Continuing on in spite of. And then what? Godliness. What is godliness? Making God's quality ours that others can see. Then he finishes in brotherly love. Brotherly love and love, perhaps, is the highest step in a spiritual growth. In closing, Spiritual growth will prevent us from being ineffective and not bringing results for the kingdom of God. Let us be mature. Let us grow in the things of the Lord. Let us dig deeper into the presence of God. Let us listen closer to the Word of God. Ask God to lead you through the steps that your life may show the maturity. And, you know, God wants to be more real in your life. God wants to be more real in your life. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Thank you.